33 years ago today, I was blessed by God to come forward at the end of a service at Ozias Primitive Baptist Church and try as best I could to explain what had happened in my heart. July 4th is a very special day, always for me. I remember back walking down into a creek with my grandfather, who was my pastor then. I remember going down into those still waters, the people of God singing, "Whiter than snow, whiter than snow." I was so cold, I remember, walking down in there, and I was kind of jealous of Granddaddy. He had these big waiter baptizing pants, and I was like, why doesn't the candidate get that? But I remember, and my little nephew, he cracked me up the other day at camp. We sang "Victory in Jesus," and he came up to me after the church. He's not really my nephew. I consider him my nephew. I guess he's my cousin, David. He said, "Brother Nathan," he says, "that's funny that it says he plunged us to victory." He was thinking of a plunger. I was like, it's a man after my own heart. And so I was explaining to him what it meant to be plunged, you know. And I can remember when Granddaddy brought me back up. I was so warm. But it wasn't on the outside. It was on the inside. It was on the inside. And I felt that, you know, God had made a new world. I want to give God all the glory and praise for that. And I just want to share with you a little bit. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. There's a thought here that I hope the Lord will bless us to bring out and inspire us and challenge us all. That song that we just sang, "Blessed Assurance." I love the second verse because it's the key to a fullness of assurance. It says, perfect what?
Submission.
Yeah. Right. Perfect submission equals perfect delight, which equals a blessed assurance. Every morning during my school years, and even now as a school teacher, we'll rise at the beginning of class. We'll put our hand over our heart and to salute the flag of the United States, and we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance together. And except for one phrase in there, I probably wouldn't even care much about the Pledge of Allegiance. There's some good statements in there, don't get me wrong. I love all those things. But the reason that I love to say that and repeat it is because of two words. Anybody want to guess what two words those are?
Under God.
Amen. Under God. And so as we consider the birth of our nation, as we consider these years that have gone by, and we have come to this place and to this hour and to this special day that has been set aside to remember what God has done for us as a people, I pray that I could challenge you and challenge myself to have that great desire to be exactly that. To be a person, a father, a wife, a child, whatever capacity that you're at in your life right now, to desire to be under God. Under God. Here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That's the key, beloved.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that the devil is so good at, like Granddaddy said, is trying to convince us that God's a party pooper. God doesn't want you to have any fun. You know, He has all these laws, and it keeps you from enjoying life. He did that to our very first parents. They had everything. They had the unsin-stained earth. They had the paradise of God. God walked with them in sweet fellowship in the cool of the day. They had the best companions you could ever even imagine in one another. And yet they believed the lie that the devil said, hath God said? Is He really looking out for you? Do you really want to be under God?
Yeah.
And they bought into it. They got hooked on that lie, and it happens to so many of us. It is happening and has happened in our nation, especially the last 50, 60 years. We have seen a really slow fade away from the principles that this nation was established on of being truly a nation that is under God. Now, beloved, let me put a disclaimer out there. I'm no politician, okay? I'm no politician. Yeah. I hope not in life and not as a preacher. I hope both are true. You know, President Trump came up with this catchphrase during his campaign. I think all of you are familiar with it. It's that he wants to make, y'all finish it, America
great again.
Right. I have no problem with that. I think America has been and is an exceptional nation. But my prayer for our president and for people that have that vision is that they will know truly what makes America great. Because, beloved, America will never be great again until America is good again.
Amen.
And the only way that she can be good is to delightfully submit to be a nation under God.
Amen.
Beloved, I'm not talking about a servile fear or dread. I'm talking about evangelical obedience. I'm talking about, like I said about Christ, I come, I delight to do Thy will, O God. I want You to reign over me. Lord, I want to love You and serve You with an unsinning heart. And I know that won't be a reality until we are in heaven with God. But beloved, that ought to be our desire. And to have in our minds, what will it take for God to rejoice over us, or for God to rejoice over you or me as a pastor, as a husband, as a wife, as a child? All that it will take, beloved, for God to rejoice over us is for us to rejoice in being under Him. I rejoice in Your sovereign sway. I rejoice in your ways, Lord. Help my will to be submissive to Your will, because this is the delight. You know, the American experiment has been an incredible thing in the history of the world. You know, God's blessed us to travel many places, and beloved, Dorothy had it right. There is no place like home. Not Kansas. Yeah, Kansas. There's no place like home. I'm telling you, beloved, we have something here that has been blessed by God that is unique in the world as we know it now, and it is unique in the history of humanity. no generations of people from the birth of our nation till now has ever been blessed to experience the privileges, the freedoms, the prosperities that we have enjoyed. And all of that is because that our founding fathers desired, the beginning with the Puritans, also those blessed Baptists at Rhode Island, and how they influenced the generation of their day and said, let's build a nation based on Judeo-Christian values and apply it across the spectrum of our political system, our judicial system, and our social structures. And it's been amazing. And the reason that we have diminished, the reason that our light no longer shines as bright as it has, is because of the slow departure from those things. And we have exalted ourselves instead of humbling ourselves, and have come to the place where we have said, in a majority of our culture, we don't need God anymore. Oh, what a mistake. What heartache that will bring to all of us. So what I kind of want to do with the balance of our time is to call us to action. You know, words are pretty cheap, aren't they?
Yeah.
And we can get stirred up and fired up. Yeah. A little bit. I'm one of the world's worst about that. But you know, none of us in here that I'm aware of wept and bled at Valley Forge. None of us. None of us here gave our sons and daughters and wept and bled at Shiloh or Gettysburg. Very few. I doubt any in here wept and bled in France and in Germany as they fought against evil in their times, and on and on and on. But beloved, I tell you that everything that we love and cherish this hour is hanging in the balance, and evil will prevail if good men do nothing. We cannot stick our heads in the sands and avoid that rhinoceros that is charging at us to see if we also will rise in the grace of God and be who He has called us to be, and do what He has called us to do. So I'm looking for some people today. I'm looking for some people, and I want to be a person like Ezra. Y'all remember Ezra? You remember what had happened to God's people, that they thought they didn't need God anymore? Or they thought they could just have God as a little side thing along with everything else. Sound familiar to our day? And so God allowed them, everything was taken away from them that they had been blessed with, everything. But God was merciful to them. And He raised up men to lead, men of action, men of prayer. And God gave them a little reviving, the Scripture says. Ezra called it a nail, like that hat's hanging on. He said He gave us a nail in the holy place. But there were still a lot of things that had to be dealt with. And what I'm asking for first is for a people who will weep for their nation. Not talking about whiners. If any of you know me, there's some things I can't stand. It's a whiner and a crybaby. I can't stand it. But I'm talking about when you think about the millions of babies that have been aborted in this land that says it believes in life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. It says that we are endowed by our Creator with these inalienable rights. And yet, the womb is the most dangerous place in America. You not weep for that? When we see the culture becoming so secular and so wicked, when we see the Ten Commandments being ripped away from courtrooms, when we see the righteous have become a prey to the wicked. Oh, God forbid. I love the story that Brother Jimmy tells about Patrick Henry. We need some Patrick Henrys in our day. Who would rather die on their feet than live on their knees? He said, I don't know what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And I love that story you tell about how Patrick Henry rode that horse to defend those Baptist preachers. And he said, you mean to tell me in the United States of America, these men don't have the freedom to preach the dictates of their conscience from the Word of God. Think about heroes like Nathan Hale. You can talk about how much you love America. You can talk about how you want to see revival. But beloved, there's peoples and examples in the Scriptures and throughout history that they got real about it. It moved them to weep. Nehemiah, when the news came back about the condition of Jerusalem and what was happening to the people there, he just fell out before God. If you read the first part of Nehemiah, he said, when it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and what? And wept and mourned certain days. And we could go on about all the problems. You're all aware of them. The question is, what are we going to do about them? What are we going to ask God to do? We got to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And He'll lift us up. He'll exalt us in due time. Ezra chapter 9. They had returned. A lot of blessings had come to them. But then the people begin to do what they always do. They begin to want to mesh into the culture around them. And they begin to marry outside of the faith. And God came to Ezra and said, what are y'all doing? You're fixing to ruin every blessing that I've just given back to you. And Ezra comes here. Let's look at this. Ezra chapter 9. Verse 5, and at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. And I said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God, for our iniquities have increased over our head and our trespasses grown up to the heavens. That could be true of our nation. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day, and our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hands of the kings of the lands, to the sword, and to the captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for little space grace has been shown from the Lord our God. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but America is not an old nation. We are a baby nation in the earth. And don't you trust in our political system. Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in missiles or nuclear submarines or a financial system that we think is too big to fail. Rome stood for 1,000 years and then she fell. Babylon and her mighty walls that they rode chariot races around on fell in one night. A little space has been given to us here in this American experience, in this nation that has been blessed to begin and continue under God. He says, look, to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, and to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolation thereof, and give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And Ezra wept for Israel and for Zion, just like Nehemiah did. But that's not where they ended. They weren't just crybabies or whiners, right? Abraham Lincoln, one of our great presidents, said, "He who has the heart to help has the right to criticize." JFK, in one of his great speeches, some of you were alive and remember the very moment that he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what? What you can do for your country." And Ezra and Nehemiah were men of action, and they did things about the convictions that God laid upon their lives and in their generation. And you can read about all of it. But most of you know, even our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know He was a great patriot? He was a great patriot. Read in the stories of the gospel the last time He entered into Jerusalem. And the children and the people were crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Glory to God in the highest!" They were rejoicing that the King had come and that they were going to be under Him. But there were those that were there who hated Christ so much, who were so afraid to lose their power, that they would have rather submitted to Roman bondage than to be under Christ. Isn't that sad? And what happened to them? Their house was left to them what? Desolate. Because they didn't want to be under God. But they said to Jesus, "Tell these children, tell these other people to be quiet." And Jesus said, "If I quieten them, the very stones would cry out." They'll cry out. You young people, be that generation. We need another great generation. A generation that will seek the Lord and put God first. That will weep. Jesus, it says, as He looked over Jerusalem, that He wept. It says it. And He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would have known the things that would have all been your peace, but ye would not." Ye would not. Well, we need a people also who will sacrifice for their nation. I mentioned Nathan Hale in the American Revolution. He said, "Only regret." They asked him, "Do you have any last words?" What a statement. He said, "Yeah, I have a regret." They said, "Well, he's going to regret, being against the king." He said, "No, I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country." Oh, beloved, we should be willing to sacrifice for this nation. That we live in a day where people are not willing to sacrifice. But I'm telling you, you want to be a good father, you want to be a good wife, you rejoice in being under God in that role. You rejoice in being the kind of father that God says you should be. You rejoice being the kind of wife that God says that you should be. And all that we need for God to rejoice over us is for us to rejoice to be under Him. Go with me to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. And I just want you to kind of just substitute, our nation in here. This is Isaiah 62. "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest." He's saying, I want to see America be good again and be that nation under God, "until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and salvation thereof, and as a lamp that burneth, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Doesn't that sound good? Is that not what you want? Not only for our generation, but for generations to come in this land. Oh, beloved, then we must weep for our nation. We must also be willing to sacrifice for our nation and be that salt and light, that city that is set on a hill that God has called us to be, and joyfully delight in being under God. There was a foreign philosopher who wanted to discover the greatness of America. I can't ever say his name right. I get his first one right. It was Alexis Day. And his last name is weird, but I believe it's Tocqueville. Tocqueville. And so he wanted to come over and see what is going on in this land, and why are they experiencing these great blessings and this prosperity. So he wrote about it. He wrote about the experience. He traveled all around the country. He said, I went to Congress. You know, I went to the White House. I went to the Supreme Court. I went to the schools. And he said, this is what he said. This was his quote. He said, I never found it until I went into the churches. And I heard what was being preached to the people. He said, America is great because she is good. When America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. So that's what I'm praying for my president. Not that he'll just be able to make America great again militarily or financially. All those things are vanity and fleeting. But that God will bless him to see and to know how to make America good again by being a nation that is under God, and to be a people that weep and mourn over departures from God and over sin and rebellion, and then be willing to really do something about it and make personal sacrifices for the good of our nation, of our families, of our counties. Beloved, we need that. I love those men in the beginning that said that we pledge our lives and our fortunes. They said, we're either all going to be free together or we're all going to hang together. They said, beloved, these love our veterans, respect them. Those men that died at Dunkirk, at Normandy, at Shiloh, at Bunker Hill, at Saratoga, those men gave their last full measure of devotion so that we might be free here today. Did not come cheap, but it came with sacrifice. It's that way for the church. It's that way for daddies and mamas and families. Why don't people stay together anymore? Because they're not willing to sacrifice. They're not willing to submit under the mighty hand of God. But they say, I want my way. But your way is in death and destruction. God will not honor it. But God honors sacrifice. He does. He has honored the sacrifice of His Son above all things. Well, we need a people too who will repair their nation. Not just weep, not just sacrifice, but repair. Some people who will repair their nation. There's damage has been done, beloved. The consequences which are devastating, and we are feeling the ravaging effects of that in our day. The home is broken. I see it as I teach school. Most of the kids don't even know where they're spending the night. They can't even explain their family to you. Homes are broken. Our schools need repair. Our culture. I love this story in 1 Chronicles. Can you go with me there? I'm gonna get you to lunch. Trust me. Brother David Piles told me, he said, no sermon's a bad sermon as long as it's short enough. So I'm gonna follow his good advice there. 1 Chronicles chapter 24, This is about a young king. I actually think it's 2 Chronicles. Yes, 2 Chronicles, chapter 24. Oh, good old Joash. Joash started when he was 7 years old. And he began to reign. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. He mentions his mother. Verse 2 is the key. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And all the days of Jehoiada the priest. See, a lot of people don't understand. When they read the Gospels, they just think that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are repeats of each other. They're not. They're each unique perspectives into the life and ministry and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, even in the Old Testament, when you read 1 Samuel, 2 Kings, and you get to Chronicles, you're like, man, you know, why am I going to read that again? It's the same thing over again. It's totally not. See, Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles were written after the exile. From a post-exile perspective of where they realized where they went wrong and how that they focused. By the way, where did Israel go wrong? They had a theocracy. Do y'all know what a theocracy? It is a government that is directly under who?
God.
Yeah. And they said, we're not satisfied with that. We want a king like the nations around us. And God said, you really don't want that. It's going to cost you so dearly, and this is what it's going to do to you. But they just insisted. And I remember counseling with people and telling them the dangers of their path that they're on. And for them to just look at you and say, I know what you're saying is right, but this is what I want. And to shudder to know that that weakness is in our own hearts. But Jehoash, he realized that there, especially in the house of God, that there were, it hadn't been taken care of. And so he calls them to this work. Look at this. Look at the end. Verse 11. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hands of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. And they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. People were sacrificing. And the king and Jehoah gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord and hired masons and carpenters to what? To repair the house of the Lord. And the whole chapter is about that. It's wonderful. Some people say, well, Brother Nathan, it's just too late. It's just too late. The nation is too far gone. Beloved, if we buy into that lie, then that's true. But I want to say to you today, and I want you to write this down, and I want it to be etched and engraved in the hearts of every soul that is here, that there is no expiration date on the promises of God. There is not. There is not. Jesus said, if you just have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and that mountain will be cast into the sea. Through faith, it is possible. Solomon said in his great prayer at the temple, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. And I will hear, and I will heal their land. And there's no expiration date. There's no expiration date. That's good for all time, for every generation. For every generation. Some people say it's too late, or the problems are too great. It's not true for the people who, with God's glory in their heart, rise up and build. The Bible tells us about being repairers of the breach, restore of the paths to walk in. It's amazing what men and women and could take place in one generation, both for evil, but hallelujah, also for good. So don't ever buy into that lie of the devil. Well, that is just too late. And it is, oh, the problems are too great and can't be solved. It's just not true. So lastly, not only do we need a people who will weep for their nation, right? And sacrifice and repair, but also who will remind their nation. We're too silent. We're too mealy-mouthed. We're too quiet. We let the wicked sound off. We let them threaten. We let them, you know, it's kind of like David when he was walking out of Jerusalem. And you remember one of Saul's descendants just berated him, you know. And what if David's servant said, man, let me just rise up and just kill that dog. And David said, no, God's going to take care of that. And God did. And when David came back to power, guess who the first person was brought before him to answer for his actions? But, beloved, you know, if we, the people of God, are going to be silent, then how can we say anything about the direction that our country is going to go in? We can't. We have got to make some stands. We have got to remind this nation who she belongs to, who she's under. And it's under God, that we are a nation under God, and that He is what makes us good, which can make us great. So let's end up in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. Hope these thoughts have been a blessing to you, and they'll spur you to prayer, to repentance, to good work, all for the glory of God. Remind. Deuteronomy 32, this is where we'll end. Give ye ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. The God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is He. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Beloved, the wicked are always going to be the wicked. The wicked are going to do what the wicked do. Do ye thus requite the Lord? What that means is, after all that God has blessed us with, are we going to flush all of this down the proverbial toilet? Beloved, I've seen the rest of the world. If America falls, the history of the world will be plunged into another dark ages. Will. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee? Remember, remind yourselves of the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy Father, and He will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel, for the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. And it goes on to tell the rest of the story. You know, they're trying to rewrite history. I remember Brother David Coffin, when I was young, introduced me to David Barton. You remember that, Brother David? And the problem with them trying to rewrite history is that there's so much living documents that we have that are preserved the writings of our founding fathers and the type of men that they were and the vision that they had for their country. They would have to collect it all together and burn it and destroy it. But now, you know, it's all on the internet and they can't get to all of it. But what they want to do is they want to quell it. They want to crush it. They don't want to be reminded that that's who we are. And that's who we should be. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.